Michael Jackson at a record-breaking deal.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. News outlets are reporting a deal between administrators of Michael Jackson's estate and Sony Music Entertainment. Jackson's longtime record label will reportedly pay as much as $250 million for a 7-year deal to distribute MJ's image and performances. We're joined by music industry analyst Mark Mulligan at Forrester Research, joining us live. Hi, Mark.
Good morning.
Live from London, I should say. Michael Jackson passed away 3/4 of a year ago. Why is this sale just happening now?
Well, I think there's a case of getting there while the momentum is still there. Leave it too long, and the interest starts to wane a little. And, of course, there's lots of news developments which could still happen. So any developments in the news will all be good publicity for any new product that might get out.
Yes, in the months following Jackson's passing, I suppose the money, it was sort of easy money compared to the future.
I would say is you could even make a case that it would be easier in the future to make money than it was then.
Oh.
We saw so many people going to buy Michael Jackson download as soon as they heard about the death without any marketing campaign. So imagine what it would be like if they had new unheard songs to go and buy and there was a strong marketing campaign.
Well, how do you expect Sony to package Jackson's posthumous career? What will we see in here?
I think we'll see a combination of digitally remastered re-releases of classics. We'll see reimaginations of previous albums and videos with lots of backstage unreleased footage. And, of course, there's lots of unreleased material, which we'll see released also.
Mark, I wonder, how do you know what a deceased celebrity's life cycle is, so to speak? I mean, will Michael and Elvis live and sell forever?
So I think there is certainly something of a shelf life limit for the music industry afterlife, if you like. If you look at sort of Elvis Presley as having been the dead artist of the 20th century, I think we're now the time is right for a dead artist of the 21st century. I see Michael Jackson being a very good fit for that. Because if you think about the distance between what a 13, 14-year-old music fan thinks about his music now and, say, Jailhouse Rock, that's light years away. But Michael Jackson, they can see a link. They can see the inspiration from the music that Michael Jackson is making that affects the music that they're listening to now. So the time is right for a new dead artist.
Mm. Interesting. Mark Mulligan of Forrester Research. Thanks very much.
Pleasure. Bye-bye.
No surprise change on interest rates is expected today from the Federal Reserve Board meeting. Instead, the mystery that could be solved, or maybe we'll just get clues today, is how the Fed views the fragile economic recovery. Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports from Washington on how the Fed will decide when it's time to take away the low interest rate punch bowl.
Even a sign of a more stable recovery and higher interest rates would make borrowing more expensive. So the message from the Fed for the past year is that record low interest rates will be around for a while. But the economy could be coming out of the doldrums. Might the Fed be ready to at least hint that higher rates are coming?
Not yet. They're contemplating that move, but today I think that they'll maintain it.
Alan Levinson with T. Rowe Price says the recovery is still too fragile. New jobs are scarce, and since there's not even a whiff of inflation, there's no need to warn that higher interest rates are on the horizon.
Whether they were to do it this month or 3 months from now, I don't think it matters.
Still, one Fed member is ready to at least send the signal the central bank is contemplating higher interest rates. Today's his chance to convince other board members to go along. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
And ahead of that meeting, stocks have turned higher. The S&P 500 and the NASDAQ are both up 0.5% now. The Dow is ahead 30 points. It stands at 10,672. European stocks gained 1% today, while Asian markets were mixed.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree.com. Tools and personalized advice to help control your financial destiny are at the all-new LendingTree.com. By the new Harvard Business Review, a source of smart thinking for today's business world. The revival of smart begins at HBR.org. And by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com.
Back to music now. The South by Southwest Conference is underway in Austin, Texas this week. This yearly gathering has really become a must for people in the music and film and web technology industries, too. And this year there's a new addition, a jobs booth. And Marketplace's Melissa Kaplan says that's a popular place.
Andrea Moya is an unemployed web editor from New York. She came to South by Southwest this year to find a job.
Let's see what this is. Lynda.com, near Santa Barbara. I'm nowhere near Santa Barbara.
Moya scans help-wanted postings at the career booth in a crowded exhibition hall at the Austin Convention Center. About 200 companies have tacked up open positions. Robin Cohn is among the volunteers staffing the booth.
We've got about, you know, usually like 5 or 10 people in the booth at any given time looking for jobs. Quite a few of them have taking notes and taking down information on their telephones.
South by Southwest organizers created the career booth as a way to formalize the networking that happens organically at the conference. For tech industry recruiters, the jobs booth is a potential goldmine. Molly Auer works for the Star Group, an ad agency in Philadelphia.
Well, this is a conference that brings in the best of the best in all of technology, so I'm hoping some of those people might be interested in coming to Philly and working for the Star Group.
Web editor Moya is hoping to stay in New York and is using the jobs booth to find out what companies are looking for.
I think it's understood that everybody's here trying to make connections and meet people that will eventually get them somewhere career-wise.
And if she strikes out on a job, at least she can stick around for a good show. The music portion of the conference kicks off Wednesday. In Austin, I'm Melissa Kaplan for Marketplace.
And finally, the Wall Street Journal makes it sound like Microsoft's Seattle area campus is crawling with employees covertly using Apple's iPhones, sometimes disguising them with generic cases. Remember, Microsoft makes its own mobile operating system, Windows Phone. Apparently, at a company meeting, CEO Steve Ballmer snatched an iPhone out of an employee's hands and pretended to stomp on it. A Microsoft executive acknowledged that, sure, his employees use rival products, so they can better understand the competition. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.